Hey everybody, it's Casey Kasem here. I have a brand new episode of Get Real that's coming to you right now. On this episode, I got to chat it up with Ryan Hallam, someone who took a chance on me before anyone else did, allowing me to write for Fighting Chance Fantasy. You might know Ryan from his work with Fantasy Alarm, focusing on both MLB and NFL. He also provides entertainment with his brackets and fantasy reality show leagues. Ryan and I had a wonderful time chatting it up about Fantasy Survivor, writing an article a night for 2 years, his journey from blogging to full-time in the fantasy sports industry, being a 49ers fan, starting a fantasy football website from scratch, and much more. You can follow Ryan on Twitter at Fighting Chance. You can find me on Twitter at TheCaseyKasem and follow the podcast at GetReal_pod. This podcast is a proud member of the DAP Network. Now, here's my conversation with Ryan Hallam.
I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready, but I think I'm ready because you're here and it's exciting. It's always exciting to have somebody that I've known for a while in this industry come on. So I'm very happy to have you here, Ryan.
Yeah, I ever since this podcast launched, I've been excited to be on it. You know, you and I have a nice, long, very friendly, very, very happy, mutually respectful and grown together relationship. So I'm very happy to be doing this.
Yeah, we've been trying to get this to work and life is just coming at you fast, coming at me fast, coming at everybody fast. I mean, no, it's hard sometimes to take a breath and get it together, but we're here, we're ready to go. And I'm really excited to talk to you because I know things about you and I know some stuff, but I don't know some of the things like this. Like, how did you even get started playing fantasy football in the first place? I know you play lots of fantasy sports. I know you're a big fantasy guru, and we'll get into that. But how did you start with the fantasy football?
I got into a league with, you know, the first league I really ever remember playing was fantasy basketball. And it was just me and my best friend from high school. Like, we went away to college together. So this was 1995. And I remember playing a fantasy basketball together, and it was just me and him. And it was seriously get the newspaper, and that's how I updated, because I updated it. And that was the first league I remember playing in. And then eventually his little brother, who was more tech savvy than both of us, started putting leagues together. And that was like kind of when Yahoo finally, you know, first got involved. And that's the first leagues that I really remember playing in. So I only just disbanded from those 2 years ago. So I was probably, you know, that was probably like 17 years strong in those leagues, you know, a mix of our friends and his friends. And you know, that's how I really got started playing fantasy. So it's been a really long time. I've seen a lot of, you know, advancements over the years, and it's always fun.
So growing up, were you a fan of sports?
Yeah, my dad was not an outdoors guy. He wasn't a car guy. I know where the gas goes. I can change a tire and the oil, and that is the end of what I know about cars. I don't know anything about the outdoors. I've never shot a gun. I can't fix anything. But my dad taught me about sports. Like, he's an undying love of sports, which he passed on to me and my brother, where my brother, we lived around more kids his age. So I think he was a little more social. So I think I was a little more, you know, left to fend to entertain myself. And I think that's where sports came in. And I just had an unbelievable just love from the beginning. I was a really big card collector. So I knew everyone's stats. Like, I played this stupid game. I don't know if I've ever told the story, but here's how stupid I was. So I put baseball cards in like the living room, and I put them in like the position. So like first base, second base. And I took this piece of paper and I crumpled it up and I put tape around it so it would fly, and I would throw it up to myself and smack it with my hand, and like that would have like this game that I made up with myself around the living room. So like, yeah, I did anything I could. Like, sports was everything I did, really. You know, school and sports was basically my entire life as a kid. I didn't play anything. I wasn't really good enough to play anything. Like, I played some intramural sports, but I was a real small kid. I didn't really grow. I was like 5'4" until I was like 16 years old, and then I finally grew. So I wasn't good at playing sports, but I watched everything I could. I studied everything I could. I knew at the back of every baseball, football card. I was a huge collector, but yeah, so sports have always been a giant part of my life.
Was there ever a card that you ended up with that you were really, really, really happy about.
Like, the coolest thing, you know, when Shaquille O'Neal was a rookie, like, that was a huge deal. Ken Griffey Jr. had this big Upper Deck rookie. I have a Jerry Rice rookie, which is, like, my prized possession, probably. We had a Charles Barkley rookie. So, like, they're probably all at my mom's house. Like, she's dumped a few here, like, as she's trying to clear out her basement and attic. Like, they just keep getting dumped either to me or my brother here or there. But, you know, like, Griffey and Barkley and Shaq and all that. But I spent every cent I had on baseball cards. Like, the card shop by where I lived, like, the guy knew me by name. I just hung out there. He probably, you know, just got tired of me. But, yeah, sports cards were a very, very big part of my early life.
And did you have any certain teams growing up, or players that you enjoyed watching?
You know, when I was a small child, obviously my name is Ryan. So, I'm like, my first sports hero was Nolan Ryan. He had the same name as me, and like, you're 8 years old, and it's like, oh, this guy has the same name as me.
Yeah.
You know, but my first real sports hero for like paying attention was Joe Montana. You know, and I don't really remember the exact genesis of me being a 49ers fan. My brother's a Cowboys fan, so I kind of always feel like that was their rival, so I picked his least favorite team. I can't confirm that. Like, the catch is like his least favorite moment in sports history. So I always I feel like I gravitated towards that. So yeah, Joe Montana was certainly my first sports hero. You know, from I just followed everything he did. You know, you couldn't watch it back in those days. There was no Sunday Ticket when I was a kid. So you know, they were good. So they were on TV a lot. So I got to watch him, and he was just so cool and collected. And you know, he had Hanes commercials, and his kids were jumping. Like, he just was like a real wholesome guy. Someone easy for young people to jump onto, and they were so good, you know, in the 80s that maybe I was a front runner, I guess, back then. But you know, I've loved the 49ers since 1986, and I've never wavered a second on them.
So you're pretty far away from San Francisco, and you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're not right down the street. So how is it being a 49ers fan outside of that area?
You know, when I was a kid, you know, like I said, they were pretty good. So, you know, I had some others around me, but it was tough. You know, like in the 80s, they had a lot of rivalry with the Cowboys, who, of course, you know, you're a fan of and travel all over the country. So there was a ton of 49er fans here. I'm a sorry, mm-hmm. Cowboys fan here. And then the 90s, they had a lot of battles with the Giants, which obviously there's a ton of around here. So that was that was very difficult, because the Giants did get the better end of them several times, including the first 2 years I liked them. I liked them. I remember the first year I liked them, the Giants knocked them out of the playoffs. It was 17-3. The second year I liked them was 1987. That was when Jim Burt broke Joe Montana's back with a sack. He threw a flutter that Lawrence Taylor intercepted and brought back for a touchdown. They lost 49-3. I cried. I was like nine. I vividly remember that. So yeah, it hasn't always been a great time. It's been great the last, you know, 5 years or so, because the Giants and Jets are like terrible. So, you know, I'm getting the better end of it now, but it led to a lot of smack talk, a lot of that for, you know, hometown team having a nice rivalry with your favorite team.
Right on. And then, you know, they've had success and haven't been able to, like, well, you know, because you're a fan, you know, they're right there. And, you know, I know how that feels, to get your hopes up and then have them crushed very quickly. But at least you got to experience it a little bit longer than I get to as a Cowboys fan, because one and done. but that whole situation, you know, and the quarterback situation and everything else that's going on there, does it ever get exhausting being a fan of that team?
Yeah, the only time it gets exhausting in that team is going on Twitter. I hate 49ers Twitter. I've unfollowed several people that I started, because they're all, not all, several are, I feel like, don't pay attention to what's going on, don't have realistic expectations, it's just all with their heart. And I understand that. Like, believe me, I cried when they beat the Packers this year. Like, the fact that they pulled that out the way they pulled it out was just, I got, you know, not bald, but it was a little emotional when they pulled that one out. So I was like, wow, I can't believe, like, we're in the NFC Championship game now, in a year that I really felt like they weren't going anywhere in November. But I mean, I've had a head on my shoulders of what's going on. Like, I knew Trey Lance wasn't starting from the beginning. Like, they had Super Bowl aspirations. They're not going to throw a kid who played one game in 3 years at a small school and go and try to win, you know, the division. And Jimmy Garoppolo, all right, he, yes, has his warts for sure. But is he an experienced veteran quarterback who when healthy can play pretty well? Yeah. And it was like, every time he does anything wrong, the fan base is just like, oh, and they just like come at him with pitchforks and torches. And, you know, I lost a lot of patience for it. There's people who don't like Kyle Shanahan, which I think is absolute ridiculousness. I mean, the guy is, you know, him and John Lynch have come and completely changed the culture. You know, have the team blown a few games? Sure. Did they blow a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter this year? Sure. Did they blow a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl? Yeah. I don't know how you blame the coach who took a team that was in the absolute toilet for 15 years and has made them incredibly relevant. How you blame him for that? So yeah, it's exhausting online being a fan of this team sometimes, but you know, like I said, it's been 26 years. If I have no tattoos, if I was ever to get a tattoo, it'd probably be a 49ers logo. Because I don't know anything else besides my parents or my brother that I've loved for 26 years, you know, and maybe my kids will turn out to be assholes. Who knows? So if I was ever to get a tattoo, I don't think the 49ers, as much as I've struggled, in, you know, over the years, I've never stopped loving them.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely. That sounds like a great tattoo.
I'm not going to do it, by the way.
I'm just saying that sounds like a great tattoo. You know, you say, but never say never, you know. I was going to make a Justin Bieber joke there, but it's like a very old joke. So anyway, let's go back to fantasy football. I want to talk to you more and get kind of you started with the basketball, fantasy basketball. When you started playing, what was like going through your head at that time? Because you told me about like looking through the newspaper and doing all that. Like, how was that experience?
I mean, it was the only option that there really was at the time. So, you know, it was cool. I got to the point, you know, as we got into the 2000s where, you know, I had, you know, my brother played, I had a cousin who played, who, you know, who was actually a fairly successful person. And he's the one who actually turned me on to blogging. He was, you know, he would always ask me for questions, you know, for advice. And I would give it to him. And one day he's like, oh, you should start a blog. And I was like, what the hell's a blog? I mean, this is probably like 2004, maybe, you know, I don't even really remember the exact year I started. And I looked, and he turned me on to WordPress. And I went and I looked, and I was like, I mean, it looked like the stupidest thing, you know, like probably a 5-year-old did it, but you know, that's, no one else was doing it back then. So it was real easy, you know, WordPress is very easy, you know, user friendly. And that's how I finally started, as a one man operation.
And is it interesting, or I guess you could use the word interesting, to see how getting into this industry and writing and doing all that stuff, how it's exploded to where it is right now?
Yeah, you know, at times I think it's too much. You know, just really anyone can do it. I enjoy seeing people come in and give it a shot. I feel like there's a nice load of people now who are, I feel like, doing it for really the wrong reasons, like trying to like get famous, or trying to like, I have Twitter famous or whatever, you know. I don't know that it's necessarily for the love of the game, or they've, you know, they've been at it their whole lives, or things like, I don't know if we have like Hutch. Like, Hutch is, you know, 15 years old, you know, he's been playing for a while, and this kid, you know, was lucky enough to have Twitter when he was a kid, and yeah, he's jumped on and it's been like real respectful and like, I really love this kid's passion. Like, but I don't know, like, I feel like there's a whole huge load of people who, I don't know, I don't really feel like their passion's behind it. So it's great to see how things have progressed. It's great to see how technology has helped it, between podcasts and videocasts and TikTok and all these different ways that you can get your your content across. Like when I started, it was the written word, and you know, eventually there was podcasts, and you know, maybe there was six of us that had a podcast. But so yeah, in many ways, I enjoy to see what it's been. In some ways, I do kind of harken back to the old days too. I won't lie.
No, I get it. Excuse me. I'm like laughing over here. No, that, because that's funny to me, because I get that. I feel that in any group or any industry that it feels like that. I think that, you know, I guess you got to find your type of people and flock towards those people. And not everybody's in a, you know, a somebody that, you know, you're going to enjoy listening to, and that's just how it is. But yeah, now that there's so many out there, it sometimes it does feel saturated. But for those people that are wanting to get into writing or podcasting or any of that stuff, what kind of advice would you have for somebody that's brand new into the scene trying to break in?
I would say, you know, be yourself, work really hard, don't say no to any opportunities. Like, and no one could do it themselves. Like, everyone who's made anything of themselves in this industry has had a break. Like, you know, like I said, I was a one-man operation when I started. You know, Steve Gardner of USA Today, I will always credit as one of the first people to give me an opportunity. I don't even remember how we crossed paths, because there was no Twitter when I started. And even when Twitter started, I was like a late bloomer. Like at first I thought, this is stupid, you have 140 characters, I thought this was dumb. So I ran like Fantasy Alarm's Twitter, but I didn't have my own. So you know, reach out to others, be respectful, you know, but work really hard, try, you know, try to find your own voice. There's a lot of people come in and it's like they try to, I don't want to say attack someone to like get attention, but there are some who like they go after a big name and they're like, hey, you know, like I feel like they go about it the wrong way. But it's really just be yourself. Like find your, you know, I just said find your voice. That sounds stupid to say it again, but it really is like be yourself. I don't know. Like when you, yeah, when I found you, yeah, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this later, but like you just had your own vibe and it's never changed. You've always been who you are. And I think that's awesome, but you were always just this chill woman on Twitter. And you just were like, you just really just knew who you were. And I appreciated it from the start. And I think, I guess that sounds stupid to continue to say, but I think that's number one. It's just come in, be respectful, try your hardest, network. But the core of it is really just be yourself. And unless you're an asshole, like, which people are, like, you'll find your way.
Yeah, exactly. And it is, there are so many different voices, and there's the voice thing again, but there are so many, and, you know, finding who you are and not finding who you are, being who you are is very important. So when you started out on doing your own blog, what was that atmosphere like? And do you remember exactly like where you were, you know, what you were posting about and how you were figuring out how to do it?
Yeah, I remember exactly what I was posting about. I started out mainly as a baseball person. I remember I did like rankings 1 year and didn't really gain any traction, so I kind of lost interest. And then football came around and I posted some rankings and it really didn't gain any traction. So the next year, I remember I started a baseball, you know, I started with baseball again, and I did rankings and whatever, you know, I didn't really gain much traction again. And then I started this article I called Beyond the Box Score. So what I did was I looked at all the scores from that night, and I was like, well, if I was a casual fantasy player and I was looking at the box scores, which, you know, outside of that in SportsCenter, that's what we had. So it wasn't, you know, like Twitter and Highlight 24/7 and everything like that. You know, what would I look at and be interested in? So I didn't write about superstars because like everyone knew about superstars. So it was like kind of waiver guys or, you know, guys on hot streaks or guys on cold. Like I wrote about different people like that. I didn't do like the top 10 guys because, you know, they were who they were. So being in a terrible marriage, I had all kinds of time, and I wrote an article every single night for two straight years of baseball season. So that's April to September, every night. And that's kind of how I, and then eventually that started to get a little bit of attraction. You know, there wasn't a lot of options out there. Like Roto Experts was the big site back then. You know, Bruno Boys Fantasy Football was the big site back then. So, I just kept going and kept doing it. And then I started to get a little bit of attention. And like I said, guys like Steve, you know, found me and we started to do different things. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And, you know, every night I would look at the traffic and it would get all into it and, you know, watch it grow a little bit. And it was like 100 views. And I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And then, you know, it gained traction. It held for most of the season. You know, obviously, you know, baseball, you know, once August comes around, everyone kind of switches over to football. But, you know, I finally gained a little traction. And then I decided that this was something I was going to do. And I started a, you know, Gmail account. And at the bottom of every article, I said, you know, ask me any questions and I guarantee I'll answer you in 18 hours. And that was what I stuck to. And, you know, that did bring me a good number of people, like, because I really did answer every single email within 18 hours. So I feel like that was the first thing that kind of differentiated me from people who were doing it at the same time.
You know, it seems to be like the fantasy football like life hack is to interact quickly with the people that you're, you know, that are asking you the questions. And that's what people want. They want it right then. And that's why Twitter, I guess, is as popular as it is. And I know you were talking about the characters at first and how that was crazy, but it really is so awesome to be able to just put that information out real quick. When you decided that, hey, I'm going to make this bigger and I'm going to, you know, add it to the signature and everything, and you're going to answer these questions right away, how did you find the time to do that? I know you said I was in a terrible marriage, but even then, you still, like, how did you find the time to do all of that?
18 hours gave me a nice window, because that was basically, it got me, even if they answered me, you know, asked me late at night, it got me through work the next day, you know, or, you know, I checked my email before I went to work in the morning. So, like, it wasn't, you know, anything like now where there were, you know, you get 50 questions. I mean, if I had five, it was a lot. And, you know, I had, you know, a half dozen, like, pretty regular question askers, you know, and they came, you know, they were there, and, you know, there was like instant messenger back then. So it was something like that. But, you know, and some of them, I honestly still talk to today. But yeah, it didn't always go over well. I will say, from this less than stellar relationship that I was in, it did cause problems. I'm not going to lie. It was a huge issue in why I'm no longer in that situation. But, you know, they came in sporadically mostly. So, you know, I just answered them as they came in. And like I said, you know, the 18 hours gave me some leeway to sleep and to go to work. And it made it so I could answer a lot of them, as you know, at whenever I could.
Well, so, and you're writing an article a night. So did you ever run out of things to write about, or did you always have something that you were going to write about?
Yeah, in baseball, there's games every night. So it was really easy. So, you know, with football season, it was a little bit different. I don't really recall necessarily all my football articles. I know I did a start-sit article. I know I did an injury article. So I did fewer articles in football. I didn't do a football article necessarily every single night. So football season was like a little bit of a break for me as compared to baseball. But, you know, it was, you know, it's a different, obviously, still is. I mean, there's games once a week. So, you know, I did probably three articles a week for football. So it was a little bit easier, more time to answer questions and less, fewer articles.
So baseball season is your baby when it comes to all the different fantasy baseball's it?
It was. I mean, it's not anymore. I mean,
okay. Well, I was going to ask about right now.
given the news of today. Yeah, baseball is messing up. I mean, it's, you know, if it wasn't my job now, I would have lost a lot of interest in baseball, and I may not even be playing fantasy baseball. You know, I'm lucky enough to be invited to, you know, the larger industry leagues. So I'm obviously not going to say no to those. I do some baseball articles, you know, now for Fantasy Alarm. So, you know, it's my work to pay attention to baseball, but I'm really pissed. You know, I'm losing my patience with them. I knew that they were going to cancel games. It just was a matter of time. So, yeah, baseball is so stupid. And I'm not surprised at all it happened today. And I don't have any pity or whatever for it. It's just garbage. You know, they don't. It's like the third time in my lifetime that they've had a stoppage, and it just gets worse every time. And I don't know why they're the only sport that can't figure it out.
I knew you'd be the dude to talk to about all that, because you're the first person I thought of when it all came down. How does that put a wrinkle in writing fantasy content?
You know, they're going to figure it out. It's not like they're going to cancel the whole season. I really feel like they're going to cancel a month. You know, they canceled a week today, and they haven't figured it out, and they're probably not going to talk for a couple of days, but they're not going to cancel the whole season. I think at the most it'll be 2 months, and they'll start like Memorial Day weekend, but I really do figure they'll get it set. I won't be surprised if all of April is gone. So, you know, right now we're prepping as, you know, as normal. Like, I'm doing slow drafts right now. One of my industry leagues is this weekend. Another one is 2 weeks from now. So people are still drafting. Like, they haven't lost complete hope yet. So, right. Yeah, it hasn't really caused that much of a stoppage yet. But coming soon, yeah, it's going to start to. Like, I feel like fantasy baseball players, like, they're losing people. There's no doubt about it. Like, it doesn't have the traction that it used to. So the more they do this is not good. So, I mean, I'm okay. Like, my job has me in every sport doing projections. So, you know, if baseball continues to fall, it's not going to fall completely away, but they're certainly losing casual fans, and certainly, you know, the fantasy baseball industry is struggling.
Yeah, I didn't really even think about the effect that it has on the industry. Because I'm so hyper-focused on football and only football that, yeah, when these other sports have stuff going on like that, I wouldn't have even thought. But, yeah, I mean, I can see how a fan base would be like, all right, cool, I'm losing interest. So
yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, 2020, during the pandemic, I mean, they had a chance to be the only show in town. Like, baseball, yeah. It was baseball season when COVID started. And it took them 3 months before they finally figured out the finances to get it. So they could have had 120 games and been the only thing going on, and they weren't. And you know what? DraftKings and FanDuel had to go to Korean baseball because they were playing, and that's where the DFS sites went to, KBO, and because the MLB took forever to figure out. Now here we are 2 years later, and we're stopping again. So, yeah, it's really been bad lately.
Yeah, man, that sounds real rough. So let's talk about something. Let's talk about something a little more happy, a little more spirited. You brought up these big leagues. Can you tell the listeners more about these big industry leagues that you're a part of?
For baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the two biggest ones, I'll go chronological order. So RazBall, as you know, has the fantasy football league. They also have one for baseball called RazSlam. So I mean, that's just about ending. And then Justin Mason, who I'm sure you're familiar with, runs a large, it's got fishbowl-ish, called the TGFBI, which is the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. So that slow draft started yesterday. So that is another cool one that I'm involved in. And the two big ones, and they were like fantasy bucket list items for me, is one is called Tout Wars, which is really probably the most exclusive. You know, I talked earlier about, you know, getting a little emotional when the 49ers won the Super Bowl, beat the Packers, because I'm an emotional man. But when I finally got invited to that was another, like, oh my God moment for me. So this is like year four, I think, I've been in it now. It's supposed to be live in New York City. Unfortunately, the entire time I've been on it has either been online drafts or COVID killed, so I'm yet to experience a full tout weekend, hoping for next year. And the other one is called Labor, LABR, and what it stands for is League of something, I don't remember. off the top of my head. So that's an, that's another one. I was able, you have to go to Florida to draft for that one, which is pretty awesome. So I was able to do that in 2020, like right before everything went to hell. And that's what, you know, that was another absolutely fantastic time. That's auction leagues in person, you know, sitting around the table with the people that you're competing with. And it was just an awesome experience. So that one was set to be live until about a week and a half ago when they finally moved it online. So I look forward to get back to that. So Steve Gardner runs that among a few others. And I'm just so thankful, as much as I've trashed fantasy baseball in the last half an hour. Those two were really like, oh my God, I kind of made it moments for me.
I mean, that does sound really cool. And I kind of have to live through you with the fantasy baseball stuff, because I played fantasy baseball for one season and was like, okay, I'm out, bye. And I know that's how a lot of people, they get overwhelmed with it, because it's, like you said, an everyday thing. So is that the biggest difference, you think, between fantasy baseball and the others, to, in terms of what makes it hard?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a little bit more, you know, barring injuries, it's a little bit more set it and forget it. Kind of, you know, hopefully, if you've drafted a decent team, you don't have to necessarily, you know, you move pitchers in or out, you know, because you usually have bench pitchers. So if they're like starting, obviously, you have to rotate your pitchers in. But if you've drafted a decent team, you don't have to make a lot of other changes. But yeah, it's April to September. So like, it's a grind. There's always injuries. You always have to pay attention. Like, there's hot streaks, prospects coming out of the minors. NFL doesn't really have that. You know, you have rookies, but they basically come from college and they're in there. You know, some guys maybe break out later in the year than others, but you know who they are in August. You know, the minor league sometimes, if a team catches an injury or two, you know, maybe they're bringing a kid out of the minors that they wouldn't have necessarily thought about if everyone stayed healthy. So it's a much bigger player pool with much more, you know, many more positions. So yeah, it's to me, it's a lot more to know. There's more luck involved with injuries. You know, the people who eat, sleep, and drink it, you know, probably have more of an advantage than the casual players. You know, the waivers are every day. There's a lot involved. It is. And I understand, you know, that a lot of people, it's not for them. And especially people who like come from fantasy football and try fantasy baseball. Like,
yeah,
it's like a, you know, one night stand as opposed to a 30-year marriage.
I like that comparison. So what's your least favorite position to have to figure out in fantasy baseball?
I'd say outfield probably. You know, there's three of them on every team, but a lot of fantasy leagues require five on your roster. So, you know, people think, oh, it's deep, there's three on every team. But no, not when you have, if you have 12 teams and you start five, that's 60, you know, on every team. So if there's 30 baseball teams, so we're starting 60 out of 90 starters. I mean, it's just not that deep. So it seems like it should be deep, but if you really think about it, it's really not.
Got you. Do you have a favorite position to draft or to like go into or look at or whatever? Do your research on and put out some awesome content?
It changes every year. Like, it used to be like shortstop used to be like the absolute worst. And now, like right now, we're in like a golden age of shortstop. Like, there's probably 15 deep. So it changes, you know, with young guys. Like, baseball is turned to a very young man's game. So, like, you guys used to come in and they didn't contribute till they were like 25. Now they come out of the minors and they're 20 and they're superstars. So, you know, things are very fluid from year to year.
Yeah, I feel like baseball's changed a whole lot since I was watching it, like, you know, 12 years ago or whatever. Like, no joke. But how about with when you play fantasy football, is there a position that you're not so keen on in fantasy football?
Well, tight end obviously is a challenge. You know, you have your big two or three or four, but you know, now we've gotten to the point where most of them are gone in the first two rounds, maybe three rounds.
Yeah.
So you have to make a decision real quick. Am I paying up for one of these guys, or am I, you know, double tapping guys later in the draft and hoping to find one? So, yeah, tight end is definitely the most difficult position, because it is tough, because, you know, you do a lot of mock drafts and you're like, okay, well, every time I draft Travis Kelce in the first round, then my running back sucks. So you're like, it's definitely the toughest position to try to figure out.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Is there a league setting or a league rule that you're a big fan of when you're playing in either baseball or football, and or football?
I'll stick to football since this is, you know, you're a football guy.
Okay.
Yeah, like I've come to really like Superflex. I really like the strategy of having the second quarterback and adding probably the third quarterback on your bench. And it's just, you know, between the Fishbowl and a lot of other leagues that I've done, like I really enjoy, because, you know, you do one quarterback and there's 12. I mean, there's 12 good ones. Like, if you don't draft a good one, you can wait until like the last round and nab your quarterback. So there's a lot less strategy to me involved in a single quarterback league. So I really grabbed onto Superflex in the last few years.
Yeah, I'm, you know, being able to convince my league to like want to do that and say, yeah, you know, when my home league decided to do that, it was exciting. You brought up live drafts as well when you were talking about doing these industry leagues. For people that haven't done live drafts before, can you kind of explain to them why live drafts are so awesome?
Absolutely. It's so different, because you can read people. You see the way they act. If you pay attention, like, you can sit there and not pay attention and look in your screen or look at your notes or whatever and have no idea what's going on. But you can, whether it's a snake draft or an auction, especially an auction, like, you can see how people draft. And you're like, oh, do they raise their hand right away? Or are they like really enthusiastic with their bid? Or, you know, you can really get a much better read on people rather than, you know, just pressing a button on a computer. So, also, I feel like with a live draft, you're probably in with people that you know. So you're like, oh, well, this person really likes, well, not Tom Brady, because, well, maybe he's retiring, but like, I feel like you know the people a little bit better. So I feel like live drafts are definitely the way to go if you're able to do it.
And are you more PPR, standard? Do you lean one way or another?
I can't believe anyone plays standard anymore. Is that really a thing? I feel like that's...
Hipsters, fantasy hipsters. I don't know. Fantasy hipsters. And not the old fantasy, not Matt Harmon. No. But I'm like, the actual hipsters are like, yeah, I'm playing this because it's like vinyl. It's
old. Yeah, like, give me a PBR and I'll be playing standard. Like, yeah, I mean, if you're not at least playing half point, are you even really playing fantasy football? Like, I'm a full point guy. I'm happy with half point. Standard is for trash.
Standard is for trash. Are you a redraft, dynasty? Which one do you lean towards?
I play much more redraft. I'm in a couple dynasty leagues. The only problem with dynasty to me is like, it doesn't stop. Like, I understand. And
it doesn't. That's your problem. And everybody else is like, yeah, I love dynasty because it never stops.
I'm in like two or three, and which is the perfect amount. So like, I'm in it. I understand how it works. I can tell you about it. I participate, but like, some people are just like a little much with the trade offers all the time. Like, I don't know.
Just say Russ if you want to call him out.
I'm not in the league with him, but yeah, that kind of it's all good. You know, I there's no fantasy football that I don't like to play. But dynasty, that's a good answer. Yeah, it's a different animal, and I like it. And I dig the strategy to it. I would say if I had to pick one, I'd be a redraft guy. But I do like that, you know, tipping my foot into the dynasty pool too.
And a real cool redraft league that you brought up earlier was Scott Fishbowl. And I like to talk about Scott Fishbowl on this show just because, like, Scott's been incredibly awesome. And everybody knows that already. But, you know, anytime I can bring up Scott Fishbowl, I will. Because it's just an awesome thing to talk about. When you first got invited to the Scott Fishbowl, do you remember when that was?
Yeah, Scott Fishbowl 9. Oh, you know what? No, wait a second. When we were talking about this, him and I, because I've been lucky enough to meet him a few times, and he is maybe a better guy in person than he is over the internet. I was in the very first Scott Fishbowl, the Fantasy Football Oasis.
Oh, yeah?
I was in the first 2 years, and then I had to take my hiatus from fantasy, you know, from fantasy with you know, life issues. But then nine was when I came back. And, yeah, it was very cool. And that's why, like, one of my favorite things about Twitter is the day when the Fishbowl invites start coming out. And the people who have never been in it get their invites. I know you did an article a couple of years ago about it. And to me, it's just like, it's like Christmas morning to these people. And it's like the greatest thing in the world. Because, yeah, I do remember nine was my first one back. And I didn't even remember that I was in the first one. He told me that years later. and it's just so cool. It's just such a cool thing to be involved. Like, it's just like the clique, the cool kids. And although the cool kids is like 1,700 people now or whatever, you know, not like the 7 when you were in high school. But yeah, it's just such a wholesome thing. He's such a good guy. Like, he just makes it so special. So, like, I really enjoy it. And I can't follow everyone on Twitter because my Twitter feed is just, you know, just ridiculous at this point. But I just love seeing first time people or second time people and how excited they get and how just like, so jazzed they get to be a part of this. And it just makes, you know, now, you know, I've been in 3 or 4 now, and it's not like I wait for my invitation like everybody else, but I know it's coming, you know, so, but it's just very cool to just see people just wait on it. And it's a fantastic thing. It's my favorite thing of fantasy football season.
Those are the best when you see those people that get in for the first time, and giving away a spot on your podcast or whatever is really cool too, to like make somebody's day. Like, I love that. Like, I'm like, I remember. You should be thanking me. Thank you. Yes. But yeah,
it's I did so awesome. A podcast. Me and Howard Bender were doing a podcast last year, the Getting Buzzed podcast, which I was able to give away a spot. And I still remember the guy, Twitter is at Sumio Wrestlers, Kirk something. We gave it away too. Now he plays all my fantasy like reality show games, and we've like kept in touch, and he did very, I think he made the playoffs. So yeah, I agree. It was awesome to give away a spot to somebody.
I want to talk about your fantasy reality show games that you play. We will get into your actual fantasy football industry career fun stuff, but I want to talk about something that maybe not as many people know about. So can you explain more about how that concept came about to do these fantasy games based on TV shows?
The very first thing that I did, and I heard about this on the radio, was the fantasy box office. So what it is people draft summer blockbuster movies that come out between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and we award money based on their opening weekend. I heard about it on the radio one year, and I was like, damn, that sounds cool. I've always been a movie fan. I've always loved summer movies. I haven't really been in the movies much in the last few years, obviously, but I've always been a huge movie fan. I paid attention to like box office numbers. So when I heard about that, I was like, damn, I'd love to do that. So I didn't really have much of a Twitter follower. Like I said earlier, I was a late arriver to Twitter. So I kind of did it a little bit of a combo between my Facebook friends and my Twitter following. And I had like 10 people maybe do it the first time, and it's just a cool thing to me. So, you know, when I started to grow a little bit on Twitter, I started to do it. And I've always been a huge fan of the show Survivor. So, you know, I just noticed on Twitter there was some sites or some people doing Fantasy Survivor. I looked at some of the point systems, and then I kind of, just from my knowledge of this, is, you know, season 42 starts in 8 days. We're filming this Tuesday night. I just created a point system on my own of what I, you know, what I feel from the show, you know, and you know, my Twitter following grew. I'm close to 5,000 now, and it's just grown. I started Big Brother last year, which I never really watched, but I had some Twitter followers who watched it and helped me with the point system. So that started, you know, I watched The Amazing Race, and you know, I kind of got back into that and started a point system for that. I've done fantasy Oscars. I've done fantasy WrestleMania. I feel like, you know, there's between the BS on Twitter and the nonstop fantasy football, fantasy baseball stats, who's your favorite this, wrong answers that, like, everybody wants a little something different. So, like, I've brought this out to try to be a little bit different, bring a little fun, and you know, bring a different experience to Twitter. So it's been a really nice success. Like Survivor, I have like 120 people who play the game with me. So it's been a lot of fun. I just have a great time doing it. It doesn't take too much time to update from week to week, and you know, my core of people grows a little bit each time.
Degenerates is what you guys are over here. Is there a show out there that, or some sort of concept out there that you would want to do another point scoring system for that you haven't gotten to yet that you can think of?
There's a Netflix reality show called The Circle. I have a point system kind of in my head. I tried to test it out with season 3, and then football season kind of got in the way, and I didn't quite finish it, so I have to kind of go back and watch that season. But I'm hoping for season 4 that I'm gonna put that out there, and I'm looking to like grow into it, like Top Chef. I don't know, like,
ooh, Top Chef.
Yeah,
I'd be down for that.
Whatever, like, yeah, I'm definitely looking to grow it. Like I said, I mean, more and more people get into it all the time, so I mean, there's clearly some kind of market for it. Fantasy Alarm has been like kind of cool to back me. Like, if our tech department ever catches up, like, all this is going to be on the site one day. So yeah, it's something that I'm certainly looking to grow with.
And you do all kinds of fun stuff on Twitter, which is super rad to see. And you do the brackets, which I know everybody is a big fan of voting and a big fan of polls, and you know, anything we can do to like make us feel like we're a little bit closer to a fantasy kind of sport. So what made you decide that was something you wanted to start doing?
So the first time I ever did the bracket, we're going all the way back to Fighting Chance. And this is when it was a one-man operation. And I've always loved the NCAA tournament. Like, that's always been a huge thing. Like, I used to, when I was in my 20s, I would take Thursday and Friday off of work. Like, that's, I'd hang a bracket on the wall. Like, I'd leave it up there the whole time and fill it out. Like, it was always a huge deal to me. And then one year I got the idea to, like, create a bracket. And I ran it with the same time along the NCAA tournament. And the whole point of it was to bring eyes to the site. Like, it wasn't for the bracket itself. You clicked a link on Facebook or Twitter, and it brought you to Fighting Chance, and you had to, you know, to go there to vote. And my hope was that people would poke around the site when they landed on it. And I think sitcoms was the first one I ever did. And I think Seinfeld won it. And it just, every year I did one that coincided with the tournament. And then COVID hit, and that was around the NCAA tournament. They canceled it that year, so I can't remember which one I did, you know, that season. And then when that ended, I remember Howard Bender going to me. He's like, you should do a tournament of people who need to get punched in the face. So yep. I created that one, the Punch in the Face tournament. And, you know, at that point, everyone was sitting at home, so no one had anything to do. So I got a lot of traction out of that. And I've just really never stopped doing it since then. Like, you know, I take breaks a little bit in between when I'm trying to think of a good idea or put something together. But, like, it's gotten to the point now where I can get, you know, 300 to 500 votes a night for each of my polls. So, like, it seems like people like it. So I just keep doing it. Like, at some point, I'll probably stop. Like, you know, I was talking about the TGFBI, the fantasy baseball league that I was in. I was on Sirius the day it started with Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, and he's like, are you going to post all your picks in bracket form? I'm like, well, shit, I didn't even realize that you knew that I was doing this. So clearly, like, people are paying attention that I'm doing this and, like, have some sort of interest in it. So, you know, he told me who he voted for in my last one, which is the Saturday Night Live character tournament. So, I mean, as long as people keep paying attention and keep liking it, and, you know, it's something different from the usual bitch about everything on Twitter. So I guess it's going well. So I guess I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, you definitely should keep doing it. People love to interact, and having something like that, like, that's so interactive and so, you know, to see what people say. And I know that there was like a music related one with the that was so fun, the different music related ones that you do, and putting together, like, people put together playlists, I put together one of the playlists. Like, it's cool that the community has other hobbies outside of fantasy football, you know. So let's talk about your journey in the fantasy football space on the industry side of things. You started off doing a blog. When did you move on to doing something where you were on an actual established site?
I got hooked up with Jeff Manns. We were put on a podcast together by another individual who no one knows anymore, and he was a jackass, so I'm not going to mention his name. you know, we got put together on a podcast on a Tuesday night at 9:30. And we just like connected right away, and we were just like, we got to be fast friends and partners, and you know, he came on to Fighting Chance. He was doing his own site, I can't remember what it was called at the time. So then we partnered together on Fighting Chance. We did a podcast that Tuesday, like I said, and then we started doing another one Friday night at midnight, because obviously we had lives. We called the Midnight Oil. So we were doing two podcasts a week, and eventually somehow it was him that connected with the people from Fantasy Alarm. And I know everyone here, I'm sure, knows Fantasy Alarm now, but we were the infant stages. Like, it was the two guys who started it and one tech guy and their idea, which by the way, back then, before Twitter and before really smartphones, the idea was to send news alerts to your phone when your guys weren't playing, which in baseball was a bigger deal than it was in football. You know, now obviously that seems ridiculous because we have information coming out of our asses, but at the time that was like a pretty big deal. You know, and they purchased us up, and we thought we were the coolest people in the world. And so we ended up on Fantasy Alarm from the get-go there, and slowly grew it into, you know, the giant that it is now. But it's humbling to have been at the ground floor of something, and now to be back is a full circle journey that I'll never forget.
Yeah, that's really cool that you were able to do that. And I know that you had to take a break in between there. So stopping fantasy football related content and fantasy in general related content, and or having to push back on putting things out, how big of a change was that for you?
It was horrible. Like, you know, I was on Sirius XM radio at the time, and I was pouring, you know, a few articles a week into it. And the relationship that I referenced earlier obviously did not work out. And that was really what caused my pause. And, you know, like, I have two kids, and, you know, I was doing the show Saturday and Sunday, Saturday from 5 to 8. And Sunday 7 to 10 during football season. So, you know, obviously they were going to school during the week. So like the weekends were my time to spend a little more time with them. And, you know, I couldn't do the Sirius show from my former residence anymore. So a lot of times I had to go down to New York City to do it from the Sirius studios. So which took me away for the whole weekend, which took me away a lot of time from seeing my kids. And, you know, it didn't last too much longer after that, where I had to make a really easy decision, but difficult decision. Like, I couldn't, you know, prioritize this show over human beings. So, you know, Christmas Day was my last show. And I remember I called the guy who runs Fantasy Alarm, and I was like, you know, I can't give you what I know I need to give you. So I needed to step away. And it was a very difficult decision, you know, difficult decision, difficult phone call. But it was just because I put so much into that site. I gave it everything I had. So, you know, I knew it wasn't that I didn't love it anymore. It was, I couldn't give the 100% that I knew that it deserved. So, like I said, it was difficult, but it was easy. It was a number of years before I was able to come back.
Yeah, and that seems to be a thing that happens with a lot of people. So it's not just like, this isn't a one-time thing on this show. This has happened a few times, it sounds like. And that, you know, and so that is important for people to realize that sometimes you have to take care of other things besides, you know, you got to put things on the back burner. But you came back, and you're back and bigger and better than ever. So things changed, things got better for you. So how did things get better, and how did you decide it was time to get back into the fantasy football world?
You know, divorces can be a wonderful thing. Then I, you know, I got back on my own. I got back on my feet. You know, I tried to come back a couple times to Fantasy Alarm, and, you know, there was one article here and one article there, and it wasn't really just for me. So one day I was like, you know, geez, I really love to start Fighting Chance again. But technically, they did purchase us. It wasn't for an exorbitant amount of money, although we were thrilled to get it at the time. So I went to the guy who owned it, and I was like, any chance I can have fighting chance back? And he was like, not doing anything for me. Go for it. Like, we never lost touch. We had a great relationship. I went out on good terms. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I don't care. Take it back. I don't care. So, like, I started again. And as I referenced earlier, I am the least technologically savvy person in the world. So I went back to WordPress. And at that point, now we're on mobile phones. So I'm like, I tried to find any theme that would look decent on mobile. And it was even worse than the first time. It looked even uglier. But, you know, it looked good on an iPhone, or you could read it at least on an iPhone. So that's when I started back up again. And then I was just thinking, I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm not chasing the dream. I'm doing this because I want to. I'll write what I want, when I want, how I want, swear if I want, whatever I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. So that's when I brought, you know, my buddy Steve Rappin in. And him and I ran this together, and we just had a good time doing whatever we want. And I was no longer looking to kind of chase the dream. I was just having a good time doing what I wanted to do.
And that's such a cool part of Fighting Chance and its story, is just like the way that the people that write there are allowed to write what they want to write and put their feelings into it. And like you said, cuss if you want to cuss and put your opinion, you know, and it, you don't have to worry about like, people know you're not representing, you're representing yourself first and foremost, but you had a group of people that started coming in that were a great group of people. You started bringing, I say that because I was one of the people that came into the Fighting Chance Fantasy family, but that's not really why I'm saying this. You had an eye for picking people out that had talent or have talent, but just didn't have a place to put their creativity. So what made you decide to bring in people to the site?
You know, Steve and I were doing very well, and you know, I never really lost the relationships that I had the first time around. And that was like the key to Fighting Chance 2.0, was I was able to, you know, we were doing a podcast and we were back for 6 months, but we were having like top-notch guests. Like, I was able to get good people because I knew them from, you know, the first 8 years that I did this or whatever. So, you know, we were a two-man show, but we weren't just like any newcomer, because, you know, we had relationship with Bob Harris or people like that. So like our podcast was bringing in like seriously good guests, John Lobb or any, you know, people like that. And then it was just, I'm going to bring up Jim Day, because he was like a big part of, you know, our site coming back. And that was at a time where we didn't know everyone's, you know, opinions were as horrible as they may have turned out to be. But, you know, Jim had a real big following. So, you know, it was a while that I talked to him and tried to bring him on. And, you know, he had gone into retirement because of some other people had rubbed him the wrong way. And then, you know, eventually he agreed to come back. And then, you know, I just was going around Twitter and you know, I think I had like 700 or 800 followers at that time. And you were someone who had caught my attention. And I remember I will never forget the tweet. You're like, oh, I'm thinking about, you know, getting involved and writing some more, you know. And you didn't even really like put it out there that you were looking for something. But I looked, and I think you had like 3,000 followers at the time. And like I said, you were like four times as many as me. I was like, shit. Like, I would love to pull her in. Like, she also, you already had like such a rabid following of people. So I knew if we could pull you in, like that would be a great get for the site and to bring a lot of eyes in. So like, I know I messaged you like, I think within an hour or so of that tweet, and like, hey, you want to give this a chance? And I must have been the first one to have caught that mass.
You're the only one.
Oh my God. I can't believe that's true. But yeah, so you came in and Brian Drake came in, and then it just started to snowball, and we brought in a lot of good people. And suddenly this site that I was doing for fun, because there was, you know, I just liked to do it. And we had like a staff of 8 people, and I loved it.
And how does it feel to see people that you brought in succeed? Like, there, like you said, there are a bunch of people that came there, you know, 8 people or whatever. Like a lot of those people have either continued their podcast and they have like great podcasts and writing. They're either with the site or they're not with the site anymore. But how is it to see these people just grow and grow?
There's really not, honestly, there's, you know, outside of this being my job now, which is the greatest thing that's come out of this, like, there's really nothing better to me than watching the rest of you who, you know, we all, because that, you know, that one real year where we all were in it together was really, you know, maybe the best year that I've spent in fantasy football. Like, we had such a good group between you and Gary and Steve and Kevin and Brian and everything else. It was just, we were just such a coherent group, mm-hmm. a cohesive group. Like, everyone got along. Everyone did their own thing. I didn't have to check up on anybody. Like, everyone just did what they wanted to do. And it was just, we got attention. We got a draft spot in the Kings Classic, you know, in Canton, you know. Everyone just got a lot of attention, and it was fantastic for me to see. So to see you move up to the fantasy footballers, and Kevin's making some money now, and seeing Brian's fantasy football hustle, and you know, everyone just kind of growing and doing their own thing, and Dwayne, and God damn, it's like, it really is humbling for me to see, you know, me to, you know, give a stepping stone to people to chase their dreams and to succeed. I can't really ask for too much more than that.
I know we're all appreciative of you. Like, no joke, I really wasn't going to write. I wasn't going to do any of that stuff. There's no way. I was like, out here, I was just a fan of people that put out fantasy content. That's what I was. And I like to talk to people, and it was really cool because people like you would interact with me. And so, you know, that really made me want to come join your team, you know, when somebody that I can see has a good relationship with people that ask him questions and that come to him for advice and stuff. It's super rad. And I know I had Brian on, and I've talked to Kevin on here as well. And it's just like, to see us all come up at the same time, and you're one of the big reasons why that was able to happen. So I do usually kiss everybody's ass that comes on the show, I've been told, but anybody that comes on the show, out of everybody that's come on the show, like, you're the one who was like the kick in the pants to get me to like do something. You know, I had all this wasted just putting tweets out there for whatever. And then you gave me a platform to be able to like actually tell people this is what's up. So I appreciate you for that more than you probably even know.
And I mean, I appreciate you, man. Like, it's everyone worked together. It was fantastic. And I know when you first started thinking about podcasting, it was just like, oh my God, I could never do this. And I'm like, just do it and you'll get past it. You know, it's the nerves of doing it the first time or the second time, and then it's just going to become natural. And now you're how many episodes into this, and how many other episodes that you've, you know, how many other shows that you've been, and you're the queen of the open bar and and so many other things. Like, to see, you know, what you were, like you said, you were hanging out on the Twitter and you were just having a good time. And now to see that you know, you've jumped a couple rungs in the ladder and you have your own podcast, and to see you're past the anxiety of hearing your own voice and doing these shows, and you have these big guests on the show, it's entirely humbling for me. And, you know, I was in Vegas a couple weeks ago at the FSGA, and I was sitting there with Kevin Murray, and he's like, man, I listened to Casey's podcast with Brian Drake, and they just talked so much about you. And I was just like, you know, it's amazing. It's something for me that I can't put into words, like, to see those who you know, sweat with me succeed is really just the best feeling in the world. And I'm just so proud of you, of everything that you've done, and Brian and Gary and Kev and all you guys. Like, it's just I don't want to get like wispy on this podcast, but it's just so great to see. And I just knew you had so much potential. It was just waiting to be sprung, and to see you living up to it is just so awesome to watch.
Thank you so much, man. Like, I'm not trying, I'm over here like, oh my God, I'm going to start crying. But yeah. And you know, I met you at the expo, the Fantasy Football Expo, and I was not in my best mind state at that time, which happens to all of us at some point. But are you planning on going again this year?
Already booked.
Dope. Dope, dope, dope. So what was one of your favorite experiences from that event last year?
You know, besides meeting the people that I've interacted with for so long, like you, my favorite was meeting a couple of different people. And I will single out two because I have not lost touch with them. And that is Mauricio Gutierrez and Drew Davenport. Those are two guys that I met out there that I had no interaction with before. And like we both those guys I hit it off with so well, like, and I interact with both of them, I message both of them, and it's just like such a cool thing that Bob put together to get together and just to see, you know, be put in the same space with so many people who share your passion. And I can't wait to go back. It starts the day after my birthday, so I'm really excited. Like,
oh my gosh, this new information that we have. Okay, this is fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. So Drew was like, maybe we should go and have a long weekend. I'm like, I probably should see my family for my birthday. I'll be there the next
time. We can't get too overboard here.
Yeah,
but so we will celebrate your birthday big.
Yeah. So I'm definitely, I can't wait to get back. Oh man, it was such a good time.
I'm ready to do it big and better than last year. I'm actually at the hotel that the event is at instead of far away like last time and having to drive and freaking out because I don't know where I am and anxiety, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a great time. And it will be a great time. And, you know, meeting all these people that are fans of fantasy football. I know at the expo, it's not just analysts. There's fans of fantasy football there, and you had a booth last year and people were coming around. What was that experience like, being able to talk to people who are fans of fantasy football and not just analysts?
I think most people were disappointed Howard Bender wasn't there. it was cool. Like it was a lot of fun to see people come around and talk, and you know, everyone just wants to talk about the teams they drafted or, you know, sleepers or whatever. So I really enjoy, you know, talking with people and trying to give advice. And, you know, we have a Discord channel over at Fantasy Alarm, and that's one thing like I need to get better at this year. Like as I've gotten more involved with different things, I've kind of gotten away from, you know, touch with people. I've turned to more behind the scenes job. So it's cool. I just like to interact with people and try to talk to them not only about like life and fun and beer and whatever, but obviously fantasy football.
So this Discord, because I'm old. No, I've used Discord, but I'm not like a loyal user of Discord. Is this the thing that you think is like the next big thing for fantasy football, or you think that it goes hand in hand with some of the other stuff?
Yeah, like we always had like a chat room, so it's kind of like taking over for our chat room. So, and again, I feel horrible saying this. I've never logged into it as much as I should. So, but I know from listening to meetings and stuff that there's a lot of different things that we can do there with interacting with people, dropping links to articles. So, yeah, I think that's a great way to get in touch with our fans, which. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we can all just write articles and do podcasts and scream into the open air, but if no one's consuming it, then what are we really? Nothing. So, you know, we're all about our family, hashtag family, which you can see on my hat there. Like, yep. You know, we're all about our fans, our people, the people who come to us. So, like, you know, Fantasy Alarm, as much as I might be slacking on it, you know, the site does not slack with connecting with our people.
Who came up with the hashtag family?
As far as I know, it was Howard Bender. That's what I was told.
I was wondering, because that is very clever and I like it. Right? So it's very clever. So way to go, and way to go with the branding. When you decided to move on from what you were doing with fantasy, with Fighting Chance Fantasy, how did that decision come about, and what was going on inside your brain?
So I was part-time. I got to the point where I was part-time with Fantasy Alarm. You know, they have a role where you monitor the site and post articles and answer the chat room and monitor the Twitter. You know, I was doing that for a number of hours, and I had a couple articles a week. But it wasn't quite enough money where I could quit my real job. So So it was like, it was part time. So at that point I was still doing both, because I could, you know, and it got to the point where I was offered a full-time job, and that's where I do now. It's called Fanjections. It is the projections wing of the Fantasy Alarm site. And at the point that was offered to me, I was told that I could still contribute to Fighting Chance, but obviously it would behoove me to, you know, to, if I had a full-time job, mm-hmm. that I should be all in. And it was a very difficult decision. Like I said, I mean, I probably started that in 2005. I think it was before I had any kids. So my first one was born in 2006. So I think it was like 2005. So this was 2020. So we were looking at 15 years on and off with the site. And, you know, I felt a lot of ownership to it, you know. But I worked a long time. I had a lot of ups and downs. Like I said, I worked towards it. I was making some money, and then I wasn't, and then I quit, and I came back, and I quit, and I came back, and I could never quite get fantasy sports out of my brain, out of my blood. It was just part of me. So, like, I got to the point where, like I said, when I came back, I was like, I'm just doing this for fun. Like, me and Steve are doing this for fun. I'm not chasing the dream. I'm just doing this because I want to. I can say what I want. I can do what I want. And then one day I woke up, I'm like, why can't I make this my job? You know, I think I'm good enough for it. And it turned out that I was. And you know, when I got to the point that I could do a full-time job, then I had to pass the reins off to you guys. And you know, I'm proud that Fighting Chance is still going a few years later. I feel like it is it's still a really nice site where people are cutting their teeth. I pulled a couple out for Fantasy Alarm. I know P.E. Stitz has, you know, does some stuff with us. Britt Flynn is now doing stuff with us. Kevin is doing stuff with us. So, like, it's a nice place to get started. Like, if people contact me and they want to get into writing, like, I have no say over the content with Fantasy Alarm. So I'm like, if you want to get started with writing, this is where you get started, and things happen from there.
Yeah, I like it. Hurt me to leave Fighting Chance Fantasy. It was time for me to leave because I learned that I can't handle writing for two different sites and having a podcast and having a family and having a life and a job, a real job, a real, not in fantasy, but I wish. No, I'm just kidding. Not anymore. But you get to live the dream because a lot of people that come on the show are like, I want to be full-time in fantasy football. What kind of advice do you have for people that are like putting in the effort, but they feel like maybe it's not going the way that they want it to?
It doesn't necessarily have to be in the content, realm of things. Like, I do some writing, but the majority of my job is not revolved around writing. So, take any opportunity you can, you know, put a couple sites together if you have to, like, you know, do what you have to make it happen. And again, just don't say no to opportunities. They don't come around every day. So, like I said, I started, you know, tracking the site and editing articles and posting and, you know, answering Twitter questions. And, you know, that wasn't, you know, that's not the dream, but you know what, it got me paid and, you know, it got my foot in the door. And then when something full-time came around, like, I was under consideration for it. And it was because I worked hard, I came in, I did what I was asked to do, and then, you know, more opportunities came. So whether you don't necessarily get what you're looking for right off the bat doesn't mean that it's not going to lead to something down the stretch.
Indeed. And speaking of family, when we were talking about one type of family, now I want to talk about family, like being a dad and, you know, being a husband and being, you know, not only a fantasy football inspiration, but also a family man. That obviously means a lot to you. And obviously you're not in the same position you were when you were in a time of not awesomeness. How is it doing fantasy content? I know that's your full-time job now, so it's pretty cool. I'm sure your wife doesn't hate you for having so much fantasy in your life, but how is being full-time in fantasy and being a family man?
It's fantastic, honestly. I mean, I think this is really the best time of my life. You know, I'm able to do a lot during the day. Obviously, she has an office job, so I'm home by myself most of the day. But it's great that it also gives me the flexibility to, you know, to do different things. Like if I had to pick up my kids or you know, something's going wrong, like, you know, it's and maybe that's not everywhere. But, you know, I work for the absolute best site in the world. I absolutely love people I work with. I love people I work for. There's no place I'd rather be. So really, like, you know, we talk about hashtag family, it really what it is. I mean, everyone really gets along. A lot of us just went out to the FSGA in Vegas and we had a blast together. You know, everyone just really, you know, if someone has something going on, everyone else picks up the slack. So, I mean, it's just a great thing. Like, my kids think what my job is freaking awesome. Like, they see I do things on the internet, like live streams or whatever. Like, they just think that's really cool because they're like almost 16 and almost 14. So, like, they're on the internet, so they understand. And they just think it's cool. And, like, you know, my younger daughter will play, like, the live streams I did last year in football for, like, her friends and everything. So, like, they really think it's, like, the coolest thing in the world. And my wife is extremely supportive. And it's not only, you know, like, doing something I love, but, like, it's gotten to the point where, like, I'm doing better financially than I was doing for jobs that I hated. So, yeah so it's like, there's no loss. It's just all wins.
How did you meet your current wife?
Work. We worked together at a bank. Funny thing is, we worked together at a bank, and she didn't pay me the least bit of attention. I was married at the time when I was working there. And if you told me I was going to marry this person, I would tell you were absolutely crazy, because we didn't really talk, and I never knew where she stood with anything, and she was just a very standoffish person. And I don't really, like, it was alcohol that got us even talking. So, like, I invited myself over to her place one time, and I was wasted, and she was wasted, and probably neither one of us would, I wouldn't have had the guts to ask, and she would have never had said yes if either one of us was sober. So, it was like 3 years later that this happened, and today, even today, it's still, like, strange that it's reality.
Well, I hear all the greatest love stories start with being highly intoxicated. I mean, I know from experience, so, you know, I feel you on that. I've never had one touch of alcohol in my life, guys. I'm normally this, yeah, no. I probably do need to be drinking more right now because I feel like I'm rambling with you, but you're so, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm being, like, super emotional with you and super, like, getting down, you know, because I really appreciate you and all that you do, not just for me, but, like, I see, like, you had brought up Britt earlier, and, like, just to see, like, how you've supported women in fantasy sports, like, that's been super awesome too. Like, you're one of those people that, like, I will never think that it, you know, anything bad would ever happen with you towards, because you're just, like, take us, just, you're so awesome when it comes to that. And so giving her that shot, I really enjoy her content. So I knew that you, like, I don't know what the story was behind that, but I feel like you, like, found her and were like,
it was kind of similar to you. Well, different than you, because you had a bigger following than me at the time. So, I mean, things that were different at that point that, you know, she wasn't at the point where she had a bigger following, but I just saw her tweets and I just got a good vibe off of them, and I liked, you know, her opinions were good. She was confident about them. She was fun. And I just felt like, you know, good things would come from her. So I started talking with her, and, you know, I got her hooked up with Fighting Chance, and things went really well. Like, her work ethic is really strong. She and she's, again, like you, when she started with the podcast and stuff, was very anxious about, you know, being out there or messing something up or this and that. And I
still
told her the same thing I told you. It's like repetition. You just got to do it. You just got to rip off the Band-Aid, and it'll be fine. And then, you know, we got to be, you know, friendly. And then an opportunity came up where we started doing college football projections, and I knew she was into college football, so I brought her in for that. And I was like, I need you to help me. And she did. And she did a fantastic job with, along with the others that helped us. And then, you know, Howard kind of caught wind of her, found her articles on Fighting Chance. And now, you know, she's at a full-time job in customer service with us. She's starting to do content, and the sky's the limit for her, because she's a, Britt's a fantastic, you know, individual. She's a great fantasy football mind. And I think that, you know, she's very smooth with the mic. Once she gets out of her own head, she's very, very talented. And as soon as she figures that out,
yeah,
I don't think she's figured that out yet. Like, you know, the sky's the limit for her. But yeah, I mean, back to the females in fantasy, like, it's just garbage what you guys put up with, and I feel terrible.
Not me. It's called, man, I'm either those a-holes have blocked me. Usually that's the case. The little a-holes have already blocked me, so I don't have to see it.
It's just, you know, you guys put up with 10 times the problems that any guy can put up with, and just questioned about your, you know, your knowledge just because of who you are or what you are, and I just can't put up with it. It's just garbage. It's insecure small dick men who are worried that girls might know more about their sports than they do, and it's just terrible. And you know, I've met more women who have been just so knowledgeable and great about sports because they've had to work that much harder to get half the respect that men get, that I'll always try to be as much of a support as I can be.
We appreciate that. And like, I don't see it all that often because I choose to align myself with people, with men who respect what we have to say as women. So, yeah. But I do see the stuff come across, and I start blocking people and I start muting people, and I'm like, whatever, this is dumb. I'm not even. And it makes it so much easier when you don't have to see all that negativity. But I don't know. I feel like on the show lately, people come on and they've seen a lot of negativity on the internet, and it's, you know, it happens in waves, and people are just. So it is nice to see somebody like you put content out where like we can have fun and interact and all of that stuff. So keep doing that, please. I appreciate that. But podcasting in general can be nerve-wracking for anyone who has never done it. Like when I first started, it was crazy. And then I remember going on the show with you and Steve and like kind of being like, oh my God, I'm gonna, oh, because I hadn't been on very many podcasts, and the open bar is really not a normal podcast. So that, I mean, that's a good place to get your feet wet, but it's not how normal podcasts are run. Like there actually are show sheets, and there actually are, you know, this, that, and the other. A lot of behind the scenes stuff too. For somebody that's never podcasted before and they're going into this blindly, what is something that you wish somebody would have told you prior to going into it?
I mean, the best thing that I can always tell anybody who's doing a podcast is like, try to just envision you're just like on the phone call with who you're with, like, and just talking about sports, because like no one got into this who doesn't love sports, right? Or doesn't love talking about sports.
Right.
So try to take out the point that what you're doing is being broadcast and just act like you're talking to somebody on the phone. This is the best thing that I can think of to tell people.
Does it change for you if you're going live and it's a live feed versus if it's something that's going to be edited later?
I mean, I don't want to like sound like I've done this a lot, but no, not for me. Like, I, you know, Steve and I used to do a show and it was live, and that was kind of like, I kind of liked that because it was like, maybe we're going to say something stupid and maybe that will be okay. Like, and you know, we probably both drank during the show and like whatever happened. So no, it doesn't, like, I've gotten to the point, do I still get nervous when I come on the show? Sure. I mean, there's a little bit of butterflies, you know, as you're getting ready to start. But like, once you get started, you're like, you're going to talk about something that you're passionate about, like whether it's fantasy baseball or fantasy football or, you know, week 12 or whatever you're ready to talk about. It's something that you're really into. So if you're comfortable talking about it, you know, it, shortly after you get started, hopefully things settle in. So no, I feel pretty comfortable at this point. At, you know, once you get started, the anticipation is a little bit still, even to this day, but you know, once things get started, everything usually settles and we're just talking about sports.
What's your favorite form of content to put out? Do you like podcasting more than anything, or writing, or what is it that gets you going?
I definitely like broadcasting. You know, it's certainly where I feel really comfortable, and I'm not doing it right now, but I hope in some point in 2022 that I am doing it. I still do enjoy writing, but I guess not as much as I used to. But I'm still very happy to. I'm sure whenever baseball figures this out, I'm going to be doing DFS articles, because I was doing that last year. So I'm assuming I'll be on that task again this year. And I have a weekly football article. So it's not like I've gotten away from writing, but I do really enjoy just like whoever I'm doing it with, just chatting and interacting about sports.
Do you ever podcast solely by yourself? No.
No, I've never done that, you know, and it's funny thing, like when Steve and I used to do the show, you know, there were some times where his internet connection would be bad. I don't know what happened in his basement, but every once in a while, like, his internet connection would be bad and he would drop off and I'd be lost. Like, I'm not really good at being solo at all, despite the number of hours that I've broadcasted between Sirius and podcasts and things. Like, by myself, maybe if I was like prepared to do it, possibly I'd be better, but no, I really like having the person to interact with and tell jokes with and things like that. So I haven't really had a lot of interaction, you know, a lot of experience with solo, but it's not something that I really want to do.
And do you guest on a lot of podcasts, or is that something you don't tend to do?
I do a decent amount, not a ton. Like, you know, I was on Sirius a bunch during football season with Colton and the Wolfman. Because Rick Wolf and I have, like, he's, lack of a better word, is kind of like my mentor in Fantasy Alarm. He kind of brought me in from part-time to full-time, and him and I really hit it off. So I've been on their show a lot. And Justin Fensterman is a guy that, you know, I've known for a long time on Fantasy Alarm. So the Alarm After Hours show on SiriusXM, I was on a lot this year. I don't get asked to do a ton. I'm always willing to, but, you know, I, like I said, I've kind of transitioned a little bit to behind the scenes more than in front of the scenes. I was on with Jeff Erickson from RotoWire a couple of days ago for the Fantasy Baseball League that just started. So here and there people ask me, but I don't get asked a ton, but I'd be happy to do it if people ask me.
So how are your baseball drafts going right now, whatever you're doing?
One good, one really not good. Like, I'm pretty happy with one team. I think I'm in like the 36th round or whatever. 40th round. And then the one that just started that I'm in the fifth round, I already hate my team. So, didn't work out kind of the way I hoped. I probably made some incorrect decisions. Maybe I'll like it when it comes down the stretch, but as of right now, I'm not really thrilled with how it's going.
Well, it might be a good thing. I usually like my football drafts, and then they're usually really crap at the end of the year. So you never know. You never know. Well, Ryan, it has been so awesome having you come on here. Like, somebody that I've really wanted to get on for a while, I know it hasn't worked out, but somebody that is very important to me in the fantasy football space. So just wanted to thank you again for coming on, and I want you to go ahead and let everybody know what you have going on, where people can find you, and all of the fun stuff that you have in your arsenal.
Right now I'm doing a lot of behind the scenes work. So a lot of the projections on Fantasy Alarm, I'm either managing or doing myself. So you can follow me on Twitter at Fighting Chance. As far as consumable stuff for the public, there's not a lot at the moment. If you're an MLB DFS fan, you'll want to be with Fantasy Alarm this year. Right now we have the MLB Draft Guide and MLB Cheat Sheet, so you can go to Fantasy Alarm and find those. But yeah, mostly it's Twitter at Fighting Chance, where, you know, I'm doing the fantasy reality show leaves and the brackets and things like that. But as far as like consumable content, right now I'm a little on hiatus, which is strange.
It is a little strange, especially for you. So, but I mean, there's plenty of stuff available on Ryan's Twitter feed. Just go over there and you'll see all the stuff, and make sure to vote in, you know, any of the polls or brackets or anything that he puts out, because he puts out a lot of fun stuff. So just keep an eye out for that. Ryan, again, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. For real. On Get Real.
Thanks for having me. It's been a blast reminiscing with you. And again, I'm very proud of everything, all of your successes and all of your you know, rising through the ranks. And I know that there is a lot more in your future.
And I appreciate that so much. All right, everybody, go check out Ryan, check out all of his stuff, and make sure to come back next time for another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem, and stay rad.